Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I already indicated, the Word of God for our meditation today is today's Gospel reading, and the children's lesson was based on this reading as well. It's recorded in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, do you have smoke alarms in your home? And have you recently inserted fresh batteries? Hey, preparation pays to be prepared. Well, in our lesson today, Jesus reminds us that he is coming again. And the question then is simply this: are you and I prepared? Let's look at the parable. It's a parable about a marriage. And in the parable, the 10 virgins, maidens, some translations have, take their lamps and go to the home of the bride, where they await the bridegroom and his attendants in order to meet them and then go on and celebrate in the marriage feast. Now, for an unknown reason, the bridegroom is delayed, and the 10 virgins fall asleep. At an certain and unexpected hour, a cry goes up, "Behold the bridegroom! He's here! Come out to meet him!" And up jump the 10 virgins, and they begin to trim their lamps. Well, at this time, 5 of them notice that they don't have enough oil for their lamps. And so when they ask the other 5 if they might borrow some oil, they are refused and told to go to the dealer and buy their own, which they did. And by the time they return, it's too late. The bridegroom has arrived, the door is shut, and the only reply to their frantic begging is simply this: "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." What does it mean? Well, Jesus furnishes the meaning as he concludes, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." He means, of course, that we do not know when he will return to judge the world. So be prepared. You know, in the Bible, the Lord Jesus is often pictured as a bridegroom. And the church is pictured as his bride. The 10 virgins then, they represent those who are waiting for the second coming of Christ. The lamps could be said to represent their faith and those Christian virtues which are evidence of that faith. You cannot borrow faith. You cannot enter heaven on someone else's faith. Well, what are we going to do with this story today? This is 2017. How shall we apply this parable to the church of today? The 5 virgins who did not bring along the extra oil so that their lamps ran out are those who go by the name Christian. They go by the name Christian. But over the years, they have become complacent about nurturing and maintaining their faith. It seems like it's enough for them that they've been baptized and perhaps confirmed. Beyond that, nothing really is necessary. How sad. Because the lamp of a Christian life can go out. The lamp of a Christian life can go out because the oil of God's grace is neglected. And the result is spiritual coma. Yes, a person can put his faith to sleep, even as happened in the days of Noah and the flood. Genesis chapter 6. We're told that when the flood came, the people were not prepared. Now, we do not know when Jesus will return visibly to this earth, even though he did give us some signs to look for. He spoke of many signs which will precede his coming. They are listed in, for example, Matthew chapter 24. And speaking of these signs, consider how some of them have taken place in just this past year, the year 2017. For example, we've had continuing wars in the Middle East. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Millions of war-torn refugees. This extremist group ISIS persecuting and executing Christians and Christian families. Famines. Famines going on right now. South Sudan is just one example. Floods. Houston. Hurricanes. I've lost track. Earthquakes. Wildfires. Acts of terrorism. Mass slaughters. Even in a church. Even in a church. These are some of the signs. Now, in one of his letters, St. Peter speaks of the skeptics of his day. You think we have skeptics today? Of course we do. We have a lot of skeptics. Well, they had them in the days of St. Peter also. And these skeptics made fun of the idea that Christ will return at all. They thought the whole thing's a joke, a lie. He's not coming back. What are we waiting for? After all, they pointed out, everything has been going on just exactly as it has since creation. There's no second coming. Well, then St. Peter reminded them of something. He reminded them and us that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, writes St. Peter. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. And so as we observe and experience the various signs, we are simply reminded to be waiting and watching to be prepared. Now, sadly, America today is following in Europe's footsteps. Very few people go to church in Europe today. Very few people identify themselves as Christians. America's going that same direction. More and more, we're becoming a secular nation with a significant drop in those who identify as Christian. So it would seem to me that in America, there's an increasing number of people who are simply not prepared for the Lord's second coming. But I don't want to talk about them so much right now. I want to talk about you and me. Are you prepared? That's the question of the day. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? Are you keeping the lamp of your faith burning brightly? Unfortunately, we are often distracted by the affairs of the world, the country in which we live. So many demands on our time, so many activities, so many things to be involved in and concerned about. Now, what we really need to do is to spend more time with God's inspired Word. Because, you see, in that Word, we have both God's law and we have God's gospel. In God's law, the Holy Spirit shows us our sins, shows us how we've been going astray, going in the wrong direction from God's will, shows us what we justly deserve. And we need to hear that law, lest we become cocky and self-righteous, forgetting how dependent we are on God's grace. But God's Word contains something else. It contains the good news of the gospel. And through the gospel, the Holy Spirit shows us our Savior and what He's done for our salvation. We hear about this Jesus who suffered and died on a cross, taking our guilt and our punishment. And then we hear about Easter and His time where He was victorious over death itself, that we might share in that very same victory. And so, my friends, the more you and I see Jesus, the more you and I see Jesus and His love for us, the more we are faithful in worship, the more we immerse ourselves in His Word and the sacrament, the more we do these things, the more we will be at peace, assured of our own salvation, and prepared for His coming. Now, I don't know what your reaction is when you hear or read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is coming again. It should cause us to be happy and rejoice. It doesn't always work that way. In fact, I have heard Christians say something like the following. Well, in a way, yes, I'm ready for Christ to come. This world is so wicked. This world is so evil. I'll be glad when he comes and cleans it up. And that heaven business, that does sound good. But on the other hand, there are so many unknowns about it all. And besides, you know, I really enjoy life on this earth. I hate to give it up, especially when things are going well. I've heard Christians talk that way, and I understand that. Now, there are other people, Christians, whose lives on earth at the present time are living hell. You've met them. I meet them all the time. People with all kinds of heartaches and troubles. For them, it's a different matter. For them, it will be a time, the coming of Christ will be a time when the injustices of life are corrected. It will be a time of health and not sickness. A time of life and not death. A time of being reunited and not separated. A time of joy and not sadness. Well, the main focus in today's lesson, then, is our own preparation. But we might also ask a second question here. How can I help others to be prepared? How can I help others? And the first thing that comes to my mind is our Lord's Great Commission, you know, go and make disciples of all nations throughout the world. We can be involved in that as we support missions. And my wife and I just recently signed an agreement to contribute toward one particular young lady who's going over to Europe to be a missionary to all those immigrants that are coming in. Not to pay the whole bill, because it's a huge bill. Just some small part of it. And that's one thing our Missouri Synod is encouraging people to do. Choose a country or choose a missionary and pledge some support to that person so that the gospel can go out. And then you and I can also help others to prepare for our Lord's second coming in the most common sense way of all. Just live as a Christian. Live your faith. Confess your faith. Let your light shine. And I would challenge you to pray for an opportunity to share Jesus with one person in the coming week. And let's not forget about the children. How important that they learn about Jesus in the home, Sunday school, We Disciples preschool. How important that they experience public worship. I go out to many different churches in East Central Illinois to preach. I don't see many children. That's sad. How important that they experience public worship with their parents and later confirmation classes so that they also will be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, let's face it, you and I are just naturally apprehensive about anything that's kind of mysterious, right? Anything that we've never experienced before, anything in which we don't have much control. And so when it comes to our Lord's second coming, we got a lot of questions. When's it going to happen? Hey, was it going to happen during my lifetime? What will it be like? Will it be scary? Questions, questions, questions. I got an idea. Why don't we just leave all these questions to God? He knows what he's doing. He's just and he's gracious. Above all, you and I can take comfort as we await that day, if it happens in our lifetime. We can take comfort in the knowledge that we're going to be among those who partake of the heavenly banquet, as the book of Revelation describes it. We are going to be among those who live with Jesus our Savior in heaven with a joy incomprehensible, reunited with brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us. And let me tell you, you don't have to doubt whether you'll be in heaven. We can be certain of our own salvation because Christ has redeemed us. He's reconciled us to God by his death and by his resurrection. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life. I didn't quote it right, did I? That whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. In conclusion, I would suggest that then we just live each day as people who have a heavenly Father, A Father who loves us and a Father who knows absolutely everything we're facing in this world. So whatever troubles you may be dealing with at the present time, whatever anxieties, whatever happens between now and our Lord's second coming, you are never alone. He who said, I am with you even unto the end of the world, the end of the age, can be counted on to uphold you and me in our faith. Now, usually I like to have the last word, but I'm going to give that to an Amish lady today. Is that okay if I let an Amish lady have the last word? You know her. She writes a column in the News Gazette every Wednesday. Got recipes, Bible verses. On November the 8th, Millie Otto wrote as follows. Live as if Christ died yesterday, arose today, and is coming tomorrow. Amen to that. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.